My name is Beck. I'm the co-host of the Not Superwoman podcast, and I'm the great-granddaughter of Irish, American, and Italian immigrants, and I'm grateful to call Australia home. I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation as the traditional owners of this land of which the podcast was recorded, and extend our respects to the elders past and present. I am in awe of their strength, of the world's oldest living culture, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this podcast on their land.
Welcome to this week's episode of Recap and Ramble, and what a week it is going to be.
Yes, we have a very exciting fortnight coming up. We've decided to do a fashion fortnight, which is quite exciting coming off the back of the Met Gala that's just occurred, as we sit in our activewear at home.
Yeah, as we just spoke briefly about not recording today's Recap and Ramble because I can't pull it together.
There's a bit going on, so we decided you just got to sometimes call it, draw a line in the sand and call it. So we're doing no visual for Recap and Ramble this week because no one wants to see us currently in our activewear.
No bloody way. Yeah, we've got a big fortnight coming up. Like, we've been obviously on the back of the Met Gala, which we'll chat about in a minute. We've been asked to speak at Mother's Day events on Friday, which we're pretty excited about.
Yes, yep. I'm hoping that we at least do the day justice, but it's going to be a lovely experience sitting with all the mums in the room and women in the room, just recounting everything that we've learned from all our amazing guests, basically.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good time. I may have a drink. You know what's been so funny, though? I've been chatting to heaps of mums recently about, because obviously all the schools get together and they're doing their Mother's Day
event,
you know, school lunch event kind of things. But God, they're stressful, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's so funny how much we sometimes make things bigger than Ben Hur and quite difficult for ourselves. But I know particularly I think there's been mention about how the fact that Mother's Day falls, like a lot of the Mother's Day events is on a weekday and it's generally lunch, whereas the Father's Day stuff happens on like Friday and Saturday. Nice.
Yeah, like what the fuck? Sorry, I'd like a Saturday night. I don't want a Thursday or a Friday between 12 and 3 so I can get to pick up. Mate, I'm not doing pick up. There'll be no one at the gate.
But at the other side of it, I don't have the energy to go out on a Saturday night. The idea of dressing, getting dolled up and, like, staying out late.
Met Gala style. We want a Met Gala for mums.
A mum's Met Gala would be quite fun.
And I want it organised by dads.
Oh, God. Safe to say we would just probably end up at the pub with some in black tie with 4 and 20 pies, but that's all right. It's the thought that counts.
I don't know. I just feel like I've been thinking about it a lot this week and chatting obviously to other mums, and they're like, you know, I've had to take a sickie off work to come to the lunch that I really want to go to. And yeah, this is multiple mums saying,
I know. And then the idea.
That's annoying.
I know. And on the invitation, it always sort of said, food service will be completed by 2:30 so you can get to school pick up on time. And it's like, yes, the reminder that it never ends, does it? It just keeps going.
Anyway, looking forward to Friday and our Mother's Day event.
We will be uplifting and sprightly, ready to celebrate.
Well, that's what you think of when you think of us. You think of uplifting and sparkling, don't you?
I hope so. And then, yeah, but Met Gala, speaking of, what did you think of this year? I mean, we were talking about how the theme is kind of confusing. It was the Garden of Time, inspired by the Met's newest showcase, Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. I'm like, I just don't know what I would do for that or where I would start. But it's funny, all my favourites always end up being like, I always end up falling for the simple outfits that are just monochrome cream.
Oh, you're boring.
Yes. I find all the exciting fashionable ones really overwhelming. I'm like, I love Zendaya. I love her. She is my like style icon. But her Met Gala outfit, I'm like, whoa, that is a lot.
See, I think that's what it's about. And I feel like I didn't get enough of that this year. I was looking at it and I'm like, this is so disappointing.
Oh, so you're far more knowledgeable and inspired by fashion than I am. I just, I mean, my favourites list is like all the people that were in like cream, beige and black.
So give it to me.
Well, I loved Pamela Anderson. I thought she looked stunning.
She's fine.
And
she's,
I just love this era that she's in and like embracing like a total empowerment of like no longer dressing and behaving in a way that is for anyone else other than herself. And I think that's super cool. Penelope Cruz, stunning. Kaia Gerber, oh my God, she's just literally flawless and was also in a silver, straight, very
I don't even remember simple the gown. That's what it was. But she is divine. And it's not that they're not divine, it's just that they, to me, it's about pushing boundaries and having that kind of wow moment.
Yes, I know, but I do feel like, I don't know, I don't understand the rules of the Met Gala. Like, I don't understand who and why people aren't invited. And, like, I guess, for example, if we were ever invited.
Oh, my God.
Let's just roll with this idea for once. We can only dream. I would go in, like, a classic black outfit because I'd just be too scared.
But it's the designers making the dress for you in that theme and you're just wearing it.
Yes, yeah.
It's a collaboration.
I'd still say to that designer, just stick with black.
There's a lot of different views on it. I just feel like I really miss Jared Leto kind of having that cat moment in 2023 where, like, that was pretty whoa. Like, you mix it in with other things.
Like, yeah, I do remember, like, Blake Lively, was it she did the Cinderella, the light-up dress? That was Zendaya.
Zendaya.
Yeah, it was, sorry.
Yes, but that moment, like, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I did miss Blake Lively. She's always my probably best dressed. Yes. And Rihanna, she was sick with the flu, unfortunately, but there's...
We did
Lady Gaga. Like, there were those kind of pop stars missing that really
take it to the next glamour level. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Mind you, we had M. Ratter arrive nude again.
Okay, why? Okay, I'm going to be really harsh here.
Oh, God.
She's probably a great girl. Why is she always naked?
I don't know. Like, I personally don't quite understand the correlation between female empowerment and then always sexualizing yourself. It just, I get that I totally respect and want us to be free to wear what we want to wear. I don't know, the whole every time she arrives at an event, it's almost a sheer nude outfit showcasing everything. Is like, can we just try something new?
And, you know, like, yes, agreed, she looks fantastic and should be able to wear what she wants. But what does she actually do? Like, I feel like I should go and look up her background, which I will.
Maybe.
I feel like do some due diligence here and look into who I'm talking about. But I just don't – I like – yeah, what does she really do?
I'm not – and look, she's got a podcast, so who are we to judge?
Okay. Made it in life, great.
But, yes, and Gigi Hadid. She was probably my most adventurous outfit that I loved. And Nicole Kidman. I did think she looked amazing too. And annoyingly, Kylie Jenner looked stunning. And that's something else I grapple with, is that it's that she looked incredible, but I do also find it difficult because I do think it's one of those scenarios where she's just so wealthy that she's just got so much access to everything that's what made it incredible.
Oh, she's always going to look amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she, yes, agreed with that. But I've never been one to love the Kardashians.
No, look, they all looked very, very fashionable and stylish and stunning, but I just don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know about Kim's tiny kind of cardigan, which looked like it had a really bad, you know, when you get really bad pilling on your knitwear. I was like, someone could have de-peeled that.
I know. Well, the waist, that's what was disturbing me. I just was like, that is just so severely looks A, uncomfortable, and B, just the imagery of that tiny, tiny waist. I just was like, what are we trying to project here? And I particularly, like, I know I stopped following them on Instagram because that morning scroll when I'm lying next to my kids and then they're lying next to you and they incidentally see what you're looking at. And I just was like, oh, I do not need my daughter seeing that perception.
Distorted waist.
And so I ended up stopped following because I just was like, even though it's kind of interesting and, you know, they do edgy and different stuff.
Well, that was a bold move. You're very bold, Rat.
No, but I just was like, why do you need to wear and do this whole unhealthy? That's what I think my biggest problem with it is just so extreme that it is unhealthy and you can't deny that it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's just no one should be aiming for that.
Sit in a chair in that outfit.
Well, that's my other question on a practical level. How do you move? I saw one of the girls being carried up the stairs because she couldn't walk up the stairs. And I was like, how do these people all then go and socialise and maybe they all go inside and get changed? I don't know. They would definitely get changed.
They have a moment of, phew. That's over. And then they change into their
They get in their trackies. It's all the stuff we don't see on the inside. They're probably in slippers and trackies just being like, oh, that's over.
But you know what? When we do the Mother's Day Met Gala, we'll get that.
But so, you know, we're just trying to work out our outfits because we are excitedly got invited to Fashion Week, Australian Fashion Week in Sydney next week. So keep an eye out for our Zoe and I's fashion statement moments.
Anxiety levels are high, I'm not
going to
lie.
Oh, my God, I know. No idea what I'm doing. So anyway, what have you watched anything lately? Because I went into the movies last night, so I'm keen to tell you my one. What about you?
What did you
say? I saw The Challengers with Zendaya again, my idol.
Oh, the tennis one.
The tennis one. It's so raunchy. I will say go and see it, but do not go see it with, like, a parent or something where you're like.
Remember when I went to that movie with Mum and you and it was like the whole thing on the male gigolo and I was dying.
I'm
not conservative, but I was sitting there and I was like, dead.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but it's basically like it's about tennis and then it's about two guys and Zendaya and they're kind of almost, they are both, that all three of them are completely driven by tennis and, like, almost like it's ingrained in their human being DNA where they're obsessive. And then they kind of have this very strange threesome kind of relationship that continues all throughout their professional career. And it is so intense but I was weird. There was like these heart pounding moments of suspense, like almost like a thriller, but there's nothing like violent in it. It's purely based off the adrenaline that comes from matches and games, but then also the adrenaline and intensity that came from their relationships. It's quite, I recommend seeing it, but yes, again, don't go with like anyone that you feel uncomfortable sitting through raunchy sex scenes with.
Yeah, okay, so I'll go alone.
Yeah, because my dad loves tennis and I wanted to go see it with him, but then thank God I didn't.
Dying.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to go to the movies, but the only thing I've seen recently is Kung Fu Panda 4.
And the other extreme.
And I fell asleep and I was like, that was genuinely the worst movie I've ever seen.
Well, it's safe to say when I take the kids now to any form of animation, I do consider it either work time where I go sit on my phone and try and get work stuff done, or I have a nap.
What am I watching at home? I just finished the Ewan McGregor Moscow series.
Oh.
An Aristocrat in Moscow, I think it's called. I should know the name of what I've been watching. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
What sort of like drama or?
So it's in the Russian Revolution and he is kind of, I guess, sentenced to live in a hotel. So instead of, you know, being killed, he's sentenced to live in this kind of really quite a stunning hotel. And so he lives out his entire life in this hotel. And it's him retelling all the relationships he kind of makes with the people that come and go.
Oh.
It's really interesting. Oh. I'm hoping they'll do a second season.
Yeah.
It's emotional. I wept a lot through a lot of it. Charlie's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, it's emotional.
Oh, no. I feel like anything got to do with, like,
well, with war, conflict, yeah, revolution. Like, it's yeah, and I didn't really know a lot about the Russian Revolution, so it was really interesting.
Okay.
And historical. I'm really, yeah, now quite up with my history.
I must watch. Well, we're coming off the back of our episode with Caroline Cortis from Australian Survivor, and I will say she has been someone that when we sat down in that episode, we both, after the interview, we both were reminded of, like, far out. It's really important to keep a hold of the things that we want to do and achieve for ourselves away from our kids and family. I know, Zoe, you had a cry. You were quite impassioned. Probably our cross combination.
I was probably really overtired.
But I did think,
you know what, Zoe, put that block dream aside. Reality TV is not for you.
It did sound like it was a defining moment of realizing we're both not cut out for Survivor. But a reminder of we've got to go. I think Caroline's bloody impressive and went out and did something for herself, finally at a point in her life where she was ready.
Well, that's what we're doing next week with our work trip to Sydney.
Yes. Yeah. We're going and we're spreading our podcast wings and going interstate, doing interstate interviews, and we've got some exciting ones lined up, and including our next upcoming episode, the start of our fashion fortnight, Anthea O'Connor, Melbourne fashion stylist and previously the Melbourne-based editor of Vogue Australia. And she was so, I mean, she spent her whole entire career working in fashion.
And she's just divine. Like, I just loved her.
Different aspects of fashion. Yeah, she started out in editorial and then she's done presenting on Channel 7 and Network 10 on The Circle and doing fashion, being the fashion editor on those shows. And then now she's styling. And it was just great to quiz someone who spent their whole career working in the industry about how she sees the industry now, how does she manage fashion with going into her 50s, and combating the idea of, you know, that invisible woman and regaining your confidence through what you wear. And we look forward to sharing with you coming up.
And all our Fashion Week highlights. Woo! Yeah.
Well, until next time.
We're sharing a hotel room in Sydney next week. Can't wait. All right.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Not Super Woman. You can find extra resources, links and information on our website, which is notsuper-woman.com.
Is that a dash or a hyphen?
A dash is a hyphen, Rash.
Wonderful.
And if you're enjoying what we're bringing, you can follow us on our socials, and we're across all podcast platforms. So hit subscribe, guys.